Now's the perfect time to start planning your paint projects. Blaine's Farm and Fleet is your one-stop shop for all kinds of painting needs, from brushes, rollers, and paint trays to drop cloths, ladders, you name it. Shop great prices in-store or online at farmandfleet.com.
Oh, Pam is the name. Farm speak is the game. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Well, we had a wonderful time with fellow farm broadcasters last week in Kansas City, but good to be home. Welcome to a Monday, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Jahnke. Of course, holiday abbreviated week for the farm department and for a lot of folks. Thanksgiving Thursday will have us spending time with family, and you're going to have to keep an eye on the markets as well. Weather-wise, if you're going to be doing traveling this week, it doesn't look like there's many threats that are being posed, especially if you're driving. Sunshine today and 36. Tomorrow, sunshine and 40 degrees. Wednesday, plenty of sunshine and 44. Thanksgiving Thursday, clouds back around, but we're at 44 degrees. Friday, clouds and 40 degrees. And even into the weekend, we're into the low to mid-40s or so. Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, of course, has weather details coming up.
Rhodes Warm and Serve Rolls are exactly what your meal has been missing. Whether you prefer a soft white roll, an artisan French-style roll, or the tang of sourdough, Rhodes has the roll for you. We mix, knead, and bake them in Columbus, Wisconsin, then freeze them to keep them fresh and send them off to your favorite grocery store. All you have to do is heat the rolls up and serve them with a smile. Find Rhodes Rolls in the freezer section today.
Crops and Soils Agent, Dairy Specialist, 4-H. It's all come under the umbrella of University Extension work in Wisconsin. Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Jahnke at the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. But more than a few people have noticed over the past couple of years, things have changed at your local county extension office. And it's not just your local office, Bob. It's kind of statewide that University Extension putting on a whole new face.
No question about it. In fact, in some counties, the budget for extension is being moved in a different direction because of the extension service mandate now. Bob Bosol here at the northern end of the world's longest barn. And we talked about the change in the extension service with Carl Martin, who's the Dean of Extension, and Heidi Johnson, who is the Agriculture Institute Director with the Extension Service, about those changes we're seeing. You don't see your county agent at the county fair anymore. That's part of the new directive of extension, and lots of other things are different as well. And I started by asking Carl Martin what the new extension service is all about and why these big changes.
Yeah, Bob, I mean, that's a great question. And obviously, budgets have gotten tighter over time. So our ability to have an agricultural educator or agent in every county, that's not possible anymore. We don't have the amount of funding to do that. But the other, maybe more critical part of this is we've heard from our constituents, particularly from farmers on the ground, from Ag Coalition members, that what farmers need today is different than what they needed 40 years ago. They need a lot more specialized information. They want to be connected to the latest research that's going on, both here at the University of Wisconsin, but other universities across the country related to their particular commodity or issue. So really a combination of those two has resulted in us rethinking the idea of having a generalist ag educator in every county and thinking more broadly about how do we have individuals, educators who are more specialized. And when you go to that specialization, what that requires then, you know, limited resources, is that an individual covers more than just one county. Still located, you know, out in the counties across the state, but covering a broader area with much more in-depth knowledge within their focus area. So what we're really seeing is more need for that specialized, latest research type information, and that requires a different skill set for our ag educators. The other thing that we've heard is that having regional type positions or positions that are focused around particular commodities, for like cranberries, for example, is really beneficial to our ag constituency. Having somebody that's regional or statewide focused on those areas. So we actually got some additional funding in the last state budget for those types of positions, and we've hired those positions focusing on grazing, beef, water, swine, and those are broader statewide or regional type positions. Heidi can talk about more details related to those. But that's the other change that we're seeing, is having some of these more specialized statewide or regional positions that work both with our county-based educators, but then also directly with constituency groups. And fortunately, we've been successful in hiring those positions recently, so we're putting more boots on the ground to work with our ag constituencies across the state.
And you mentioned the regionalized, Carl, and that's the Ag Institute, and Heidi Johnson is the Agricultural Institute Director. Heidi, explain that a little more, this regional area, because I know some counties are pushing back, even cutting their extension budgets and putting them to other agencies within their county. So why is this Ag Institute situation on a regional basis better for everyone?
There isn't enough funding to continue with how we were doing things, with which is one county educator per county. That was, we haven't been able to do that for several years now. But more importantly is this, specialized skill set. And having personally been a county educator, where you might answer beef nutrition questions in the morning, question about a corn disease in the afternoon, you might have someone bring you a tree leaf later in the day, it's impossible to be specialized in all of those different things. So the structure that we have is more of a layering of people with different types of expertise. We're asking counties to continue to invest with us on at regional educators that specialize in either crop production or dairy production. On top of that, we also have people that we're fully funding an extension that are focusing on things like beef, swine, farm management topics, cranberries, and those people are serving all the people of the state of Wisconsin and can offer that more specialized service. We've also been able to build out some agriculture water quality educators, which are focused on a key issue that our farmers are telling us is very important to us, and that's the intersection of water quality and agriculture. So this new model that we've developed allows us the flexibility and the ability to have people specializing in areas that are important to our farmers and our farmer organizations so that we can be relevant to today's farmer.
One of the things we've seen changed has been the structure out in the state. We used to have districts where there were about 14 counties, and then you'd have five or six directors. Now we're down to clusters of 3 to 5 counties in the district, so we need about 20 plus area directors. How much of a challenge is that on the budget to have 22 salaries versus 5 or 6 going forward?
What we had before were 4 regional directors, and then each county had a department chair. So we actually had 4 regional directors and 72 part-time administrators across the state. Those county-based administrators, those would be jointly funded with the counties. What we replaced that with is 21. We actually have 21 areas now. So we have 21 of these area directors. Those are fully funded by the state. There's a couple that have one county, high population counties like Brown and Dane. But those other regional director area directors are working with between 3 and 5 counties. So they work very closely with the county governments in each of their counties around funding, around priorities. But then they also supervise all the extension employees within those areas. We haven't actually increased the amount of administration. We changed the way that administration is organized, so you don't have an educator who's also trying to supervise their colleagues within the office.
And if we look at the structure, the change in the structure again, one of the things you see is, and hear terms, an education versus a service role. And, you know, the educators that we have in beef and dairy and water quality and things like that versus service. You talk to most people and, you know, they expect to see their county agent at the county fair. Those things have changed. How have they changed, and what's the reasoning behind all that, the education versus the service role?
That's a really good question, and I think we used to be able to do it all. So when we had, you know, closer to 80 people working in agriculture across the state, we were able to do things like be at the county fair, weighing animals, helping with things, and we were delivering research-based educational programming. That capability just has shrunk over the years as we've lost the amount of people that we used to have on the ground. It is challenging for us to do everything. And so we have a lot of researchers that we fund at UW-Madison that are generating very good ag research that are heavily used by our farming community. And by sort of, you know, changing our, and focusing more on the educational programming, we can deliver that research-based information to our farmers. Yes, at times it's at the, we have to give up some of those service roles, but we feel that our role as a university is to get that research-based information out to our farmers so they can use it, take ideas back to our researchers from our farmers so that they can integrate it into their research programs. We feel that we just had to really focus and make our niche in what we do best, which is delivering research-based information.
And as you look at the people that you've put in place now, I'm thinking of Bill Halfman from Monroe County, beef specialist, Katie Wontok from Dunn County, kind of a farm management specialist for the state of Wisconsin, and everything comes out of Madison now. How are those people, I guess, evaluated versus, say, PhD researchers on the Madison campus?
Our research faculty at UW-Madison that we invest in, they have a tenure process that they go through, and they're not rated in the same way as our staff that work across the state. So they're not, and they're not in competition with each other. So there's no rating themselves against the researchers at UW-Madison. We don't have tenure track faculty out in the counties anymore. But we do still have metrics for success for being an outreach specialist or an educator with Extension. And those metrics for success are about demonstrating that you're having impact with your target.
Both Dean Carl Martin and Heidi Johnson, Agricultural Institute Director with the Extension Service, say the program is still a work in progress. It's not finished yet, but when it's up and done, this model will go forward with the Wisconsin Extension Service. At the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, I'm Bob Bosold.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Pest control? You've got a guy for that. Car repairs? You probably have a guy for that as well. For someone to custom design a unique piece of jewelry for you, or help your current pieces look sparkling fresh? That needs to be William Thomas Custom Jewelry. Affordable and local. William Thomas Custom Jewelry will help you create a desirable, one-of-a-kind piece that you'll be proud to wear for years to come.
William Thomas Custom Jewelry. Your inspiration, your custom jeweler.
Some things are never really a choice. Like wearing your muddy boots in the house. Quit before the job's done. Or buying seed without service. They just don't make sense. That's why AgriGold gives you the best of both worlds. We're big enough to deliver top-tier genetics and traits, but small enough to give you the personalized service you need to thrive. Because like you, we know choosing seed without service isn't really a choice. Need help choosing? Learn more at ChooseAgriGold.com.
You would never overpay for something if you knew you could get the product for much less elsewhere. Much like you wouldn't pay $6 a gallon for gas if the pump down the street was charging the fair market price of $4, would you? So why pay more than MSRP on your next Chevy truck? Bergstrom Chevrolet is a local, family-owned company that values your dollar as much as you do, so you never pay above manufacturer's suggested retail price. And Bergstrom has the inventory to fill your fleet or fix you up with a truck that's going to pull your toys. So go ahead, shop around, and compare that final cost. If the guys down the street are blowing smoke up your tailpipe, jacking up the price on their Chevy trucks, stop by Bergstrom Chevrolet, where you never get charged over MSRP.
Join the Bergstrom Auto Family.
Hang on to your tractors. here's another update. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Well, there has been a fair change in our weather since the last time I was sitting in this studio last week. Time to talk weather brought to you by Compure Financial. Our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck, joining us this morning. Boy, I'll tell you, we had to hang on with both arms last week on Tuesday when we headed down to Kansas City. That's when that we really got that first taste of winter weather. And I've been getting all kinds of messages, emails, and texts from people that made it out to the woods for the beginning of gun deer season and almost regretted being out there. Because this, honestly, this is some nasty weather. I don't remember the beginning of gun deer season being quite this nasty.
Yeah, cold, windy. I remember one year sitting out in kind of a half rain sleet business, but yeah, this was just cold. My friend John over near Armstrong, he reported yesterday it was 3 degrees when they got up before 4 a.m. According to the airport in Fond du Lac, we only had 10 about that time. Nonetheless, some very cold air was around for the weekend. The better news I have to share on a Monday morning, not often we get to have great news on a Monday morning, but it's going to get a lot more mild, and those temperatures are going to be rising a bit more today. Not back to normal yet, but heading in the right direction. Remember, our normal should be in the low 40s, and I'm talking maybe some upper 30s today, but it's a move in the right direction. There is some moderation. That sounds like great news. No real precipitation threat to talk about. In fact, you look at weather radar this morning, and there's a little lake effect snow up along Lake Superior, and otherwise, things are pretty quiet, and that's all right. A very weak frontal boundary will pass through today, and we'll notice our winds become northwest a bit later this afternoon in the east, earlier today in the west, and they stay northwest into the nighttime, but return to the southwest as we head to Tuesday and even Wednesday, and that's when more mild air filters into the state. Sure, there may be a few more clouds, but we are going to try warming those temperatures up, and that's great news. However, I expect as we start looking toward Thanksgiving Thursday, there is going to be a small chance of a little light snow. It's going to be warm enough, it could support a couple of raindrops. That's the biggest change there is in the forecast. Those temperatures stay mild on toward the end of the week. Still sounds like a better situation for us as we head through this week compared to how we wrapped up last week and what we put up with in the weekend. I'll have forecast details right after
this. As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter, there's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller Milk Receiver Pump, patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
Rhodes Warm and Serve Rolls are exactly what your meal has been missing. Whether you prefer a soft white roll, an artisan French-style roll, or the tang of sourdough, Rhodes has the roll for you. We mix, knead, and bake them in Columbus, Wisconsin, then freeze them to keep them fresh and send them off to your favorite grocery store. All you have to do is heat the rolls up and serve them with a smile. Find Rhodes Rolls in the freezer section today.
All righty, Stu, let's take a look at our forecast. I'll tell you one thing. I am very, very grateful I'm in Wisconsin and not Buffalo, New York, you know?
You don't want to be having to shovel that, you know, 5-6 feet of snow. Yeah, I don't blame you at all. Things are going to be a lot nicer today. In fact, we can talk about sunshine. Mostly sunny skies, I think most places, a few clouds here and there. Not a bad day as we push into the mid and upper 30s, and southwest winds 5 to 15 become northwest, as I've said here a bit later in the day. Not all that much stronger, maybe a gust to 20. Overnight, under partly cloudy skies, we drop down to the lower 20s, and the northwest winds at 5 become variable. In fact, even southeast quite late in the night. Mostly sunny skies Tuesday, much nicer as we push into the low 40s, very low 40s in some areas, but hey, it's a move. Southwest winds about 5 to 10, and sunny Wednesday, mid 40s, maybe a 46 at Madison. South winds at 5 to 10. We'll still have that 40 or so for Thursday, Pam, but that sprinkle or maybe some snowflakes becoming a possibility.
It'll be nice, though. I was text messaging with my buddy Stan, and compared to what we had on the weekend, 40s will be nice.
Oh, yeah. It's a real spring break for us in fall.
It'll probably get rid of some of the snow, won't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's going to clear off. I know even yesterday, the snow that was drifting across the road and kind of packing, yeah, that all melted off before the afternoon was done.
All righty, buddy. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. Thanks, Stu.
All right. See ya.
Stu Mock, our ag meteorologist with that Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Compure Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. Visit Compure.com. More news coming up.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Some people say that at Wiffle's Hybrids, we march to the beat of our own drum. But we don't mind that one bit. Because if staying independent and U.S. farm family owned and focusing on corn and corn alone makes us different than other seed corn companies, well, we just don't know any other way to march. So make your choice and plant your independence. Plant Wiffle's.
Experienced electricians, come join our team. Here's Dan, a commercial journeyman for Ever Ready Electric.
Family company, they take care of people, they take care of their workers. There's a lot of benefits to working for Ever Ready, including the fact that when you work on your education, they do reimburse you for that time. They're very good about sick time and very good about family.
Competitive wages, great atmosphere, great benefits. Apply at everreadyelectric.net. For all your electrical needs, we are Ever Ready.
Did you know soybean diseases like white mold and sudden death syndrome can survive in your soil even after rotating crops? Prevention of these diseases is a constant battle, and yield loss from an infection can be devastating. The right management plan makes all the difference. Keep your beans safe with Heads Up seed treatment. Heads Up guards your seed from both white mold and SDS. Stay protected and profitable by asking your seed dealer for Heads Up. Learn more at headsupst.com.
Is your biggest fear of having dermal filler in the face looking overdone? You are not alone.
A skincare minute with skincare expert Michelle Neeson.
Dermal filler treatments at Rejuvenation Clinic of Sauk Prairie restore fullness and fill in wrinkles in areas of the face, such as the cheeks, under eyes, lips, and around the mouth. It's very difficult to look overdone with non-surgical dermal fillers due to the amount that's typically injected. Did you know that one syringe of filler equals 1/5 of a teaspoon? One fast food ketchup packet is equivalent to 8 syringes. As long as your treatment is performed by a skilled medical professional, you should have the natural-looking results you desire.
Let your natural beauty shine through.
Visit us at rejuvenationclinicofsaukprairie.com.
Rebath started decades ago by two gentlemen who created acrylic forms to cover existing bathtubs. Today, Rebath is a complete bath remodeling company. We replace existing fixtures and totally upgrade your bathroom. Free in-home consultation, free custom design, an affordable new bath in just days, not weeks. Visit our showroom on Stoughton Road or rebath.com. Rebath, making it easy to love your bath.
While you spent a lot more time around your home the last couple of years, you may have noticed a few things you'd like to have spruced up. Sign up for W.E. Davies Handyman membership, and they'll help you stay ahead of the maintenance and repairs with a professional result.
Boycott putting things off. W.E. Davies & Sons Remodeling brings a fresh perspective to your building project. We're a local family business with services from handyman fixes to living space upgrades. For stunning, transformative results, visit wedaviesremodeling.com.
Because of you, someone gets to go home instead of working a double. Because of you, call lights will be answered a little bit faster. Because you are the Bright Star in that facility. Bright Star Medical Staffing is looking for caregivers and nurses. Bright Star believes providing the highest quality temporary staff means better care. It's the reason you got into healthcare in the first place. Be the Bright Star in someone's life. Work with Bright Star. Apply today at brightstarjobs.com.
Tom Spitz
and David Fink of Settlers Bank, your local independent bank.
We're the premier provider of commercial, treasury, mortgage, and private banking services.
Our team blends experience with the latest technology to make banking easier.
We provide the advice and solutions you need.
To learn more, stop by or visit settlerswi.com.
Settlers Bank, timely decisions, people you know.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
You know who tells a great story? Our Tom's Auto Center customers, like Blake, who recently gave us a 5-star review. It reads, "I appreciated the emailed estimate and text message communication about the repairs. Thanks, Blake. Schedule your appointment. Tom'sAutoCenter.com.
We'll make sure you get 5-star service.
Tom's Auto Center. We're the getter, fix, getter done to get you going, guys.
Off Highway 51 in McFarland, a stone's throw from McDonald's.
All right, I'm done with this Rodgers slander.
Hell yeah, let's go, Rowdy.
What was Aaron Rodgers' worst season up until this year?
2018.
What did he grade out as?
Top
in 2018,
top
he was 15. He was the 12th best quarterback in the league.
And I quote, "My down years is what most quarterbacks pray for."
Do you think he's playing better or worse than 2018?
Better.
Is he older or younger?
Yes, do it for me, Artie. Give
is,
me a
is he older or younger?
He's older. All okay. The times undefeated.
So you would think that it would be naturally a decline, but he's not playing as bad as he did in 2018.
Yes. Rowdy's got his foot up right now, too. He's like, he's relaxed. He's feeling it.
Would you not say his weapons are worse than 2018?
They're worse.
Does he not have a broken thumb?
He does.
Allegedly.
He had a broken leg in 2018.
Where is he grading out right now, if you had to say? Top 12?
Yes.
At the end of the year, will he be top 12 again?
Yes.
So it's still arguably not his worst year.
It's LaFleur's fault.
With a broken thumb.
Sounds like excuses.
And lesser weapons that haven't been healthy.
Did he go 8 of 16 for 60 yards and 0 points on the final four drives when the Packers could have won the game and missed open
receivers? Did they not run Aaron Jones or A.J. Dillon?
I'm not against playing Jordan Love and seeing what you have once you're officially eliminated. Maybe that's in 3 weeks, but it's not right now.
Again, I'm back on the Rodgers
he's
train.
Probably still top 12 in the NFL.
Sean
People
Calder
keep calling for Jordan Love. You don't know what he is, but I'll tell you this. The odds say he's not top 12.
But who made throws in the fourth quarter last night?
They quit on the routes.
Ryan Tannehill did.
That they let him.
And he was my number.
The defense let him.
Aaron Rodgers had a good half. Cool.
He was awesome.
He stunk in the fourth quarter.
They quit on the routes.
See, Ben wants Aaron Rodgers out of here
because
he's an Eagles fan.
I want him to play well.
Bull! You want him to lose to the Eagles with Jordan Love starting.
No, Rodgers is going to beat the Eagles because he has that.
All right, there we go. Hell yeah.
It's a weird, like, all right, I'm down. Now I'll play well.
But they're not dead yet.
He stunk in the fourth quarter last night.
No, they quit on the routes.
Everyone that keeps saying he's done are the same people that wanted to move on in 18.
Yeah, and they're losers.
And then he won two effing MVPs.
Cool. This year? He's not playing well.
He's still in the top 12.
Get out of here.
It's a down year with less weapons, and he's hurt, and he's still in the top 12.
A 94.7 rating.
And he's even older than he was in 18.
Oh, my outro song's finished.
Well, and he's making all the money, so you can't pay anybody
else.
He
was making all the money in 18, too.
Rodgers is...
I don't know what the point is.
This is just ludicrous. The fact you want to move on.
Jordan Love stinks.
The odds that Jordan Love is going to be top 10 are not good.
All right,
I'm not saying Love's going to be good. I'm just saying Rodgers.
And I'm not against playing Love when they're officially eliminated.
I like this version of Rodgers. I like this Rowdy.
To say Rodgers is shot and to say that he's
washed
is just dumb.
He played poorly last night in the fourth. Like, they could have won if
they quit on the routes. They quit on the routes.
He's playing with Sammy Watkins that doesn't know all of the routes or forgets them.
Watson was open all night.
He stopped running two of them.
Alan Lazard quit routes.
Sammy Watkins.
Watson hasn't been healthy. Watkins hasn't been healthy.
That's right.
Cobb hasn't been healthy.
You're correct, Ben. It is always someone else.
Dobbs hasn't
been
healthy.
That's right. Don't forget it.
Samari Toure is Captain Casual.
Joe Barry's an idiot. Matt LaFleur is a bumbling fool.
Can't get on the field.
Aaron Rodgers.
Davante Adams plays in Vegas.
Give Rodgers more money. Give him more money.
The tight end's average age is practically to where the point that they can file for Social Security.
I gotta turn your mic on first. There you go.
Ben, you're ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Why? Are the Eagles not the best team in the NFC right now?
Likely.
Yes.
A.J. Brown, is he a number one receiver on the Packers?
Easily.
Devontae Smith, is he a number one receiver on the Packers?
Probably.
Dallas Goedert, when healthy, is he not the number one tight end on the Packers?
You're trying to make the argument Rodgers has
no
weapons.
Hang on. Are those top three that I just named not better than any option Aaron Rodgers has right now?
Likely.
Is the Eagles' offensive line not way better and more consistent than the Packers this season?
Do you want to know why they have
one
of those players?
Just answer my questions.
Do you want to know why they have all those players?
I asked you a question.
It's because Hurts is on a rookie contract and they can
Sir, we're
him.
On a time crunch. Yes, their line is better. Who would you rather have at quarterback?
He'll answer for you.
A healthy Aaron Rodgers or Jalen Hurts?
Right now, Jalen Hurts.
I said a healthy Aaron Rodgers with those weapons.
Jalen Hurts. He can.
You're
run the
ridiculous.
Ball.
All right, we're...
There's no way.
Better this season.
There's no... Yeah, and I get that, but he's not Aaron Rodgers.
He didn't
not...
throw three goal line picks to lose him a game.
All right, jabronis, we're back 4-6 tonight at Pooley's. We'll see you there.
This is ridiculous.
I might come hang out for that.
Come on down, baby. Happy hour's amazing.
This is the Midwest Farm Report.
From field to fork.
I'll tell you what, I'm a lot more optimistic about the weather forecast this week than I was at the beginning of last week. Hi, everybody. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke along with you on a Monday. Yeah, well, the whole team here from the Farm Report took off in our vehicles on Tuesday, headed to Kansas City. And I'll tell you what, that's the first day that we came in close contact with winter-like driving conditions. The good news is, as the week rolls on, if you're going to be doing some driving for Thanksgiving, hopefully not much in the way of weather-related challenges. For today, looks like we've got sunshine in the forecast. We'll top out around 36. Mostly sunny tomorrow and 40 degrees. Plenty of sunshine on Wednesday, 44. Clouds back in the forecast on Thursday, 44 degrees. So today is the 21st day of November. On this day back in 1941, the Badger Army Ammunition Plant was established. If you've ever been on Highway 12 between Madison and Baraboo, you've driven past what remains of the Badger Army Ammunition Plant. 7,354 acres of land in Sauk County that were dedicated to this. Employment reached a historic high of around 7,500 people during World War II. The plant operated intermittently over a 33-year period to produce single and double-based propellant for cannon, rocket, and small arms ammunition. Plant was terminated March of 1975. Again, the Badger Army Ammunition Plant established on this day back in 1941. On this day also in 1941, the fictional cartoon Canary, also called Tweety Bird, made his first appearance in A Tale of Two Kitties, a Warner Brothers movie. Tweety was created by animator Bob Clampett, who worked on Looney Tunes cartoons. Tweety Bird makes his appearance on this day back in 1941. Also on this day back in 1931, horror film Frankenstein's released, starring Boris Karloff, started on this day back in 1931. Happy birthday this morning goes out to actress Goldie Hawn, 77 years young, and former football player, now talk show host, Michael Strahan is 51. Well, plenty of news to bring to you this morning. First off, the Friday announcement that the Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, Preston Cole, is retiring effective November 23rd. Governor Tony Evers made the announcement on Friday. Preston Cole has been a dedicated public servant for 35 years. We're not sure exactly who will be taking over the leadership reins at the DNR, but again, Secretary Cole retiring effective November 23rd. We know who the new leadership will be at UW-River Falls College of Agriculture, Food, and Environmental Sciences. The campus has announced that Michael Orth has been selected as their next dean. He'll begin on June 1st, 2023, succeeding Dale Gallenberg, who retired after many years as dean of the college. Orth is coming to River Falls from Texas Tech University, where he was a faculty member in the Department of Animal and Food Sciences. He also served as department chair for 8 years. Prior to that, he was a faculty member at Michigan State. Again, Dr. Michael Orth from Texas Tech University, headed to UW-River Falls in 2023 as the new dean of the College of Agriculture, Food, and Environmental Sciences. That is not the only news from UW-River Falls. Last week, the college announced that thanks to a very generous gift from the Worthrich Family Foundation and Grassland Dairy, they received $475,000 in commitment toward the River Falls Dairy Pilot Plant Renovation Project. To date, that means the Worthrich Family and Grassland Dairy has supported the effort to the tune of about $1 million, earning them naming rights for the facility. Trevor Worthrich, who's president of Grassland Dairy, said they regard their donation as a way to help the future of the industry by providing students with real-life experiences and hands-on learning. That dairy pilot plant program in River Falls has actually been in the works for about 10 years' time. Michelle Farner, director of dairy production at UW-River Falls, says throughout the process, the Worthrich family in Grassland Dairy has been there for them as far as leadership. They've also been there, obviously, as far as financing, but they've encouraged others to get involved as well. They said they're very grateful for this opportunity. Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association Executive Director John Omeyfer has also been engaged in the process and see this as a real step forward for the state of Wisconsin. They expect to launch production operations at that dairy pilot program spring of 2023. We'll have more on UW River Falls and another new campaign that they're launching, this time about humane handling of livestock. Charity Seebecker's got that story for you before we wrap it up on a Monday. Up next, markets. So far, they're in the red ink. I've got details just around the corner.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
As a proud sponsor of the WIAA, Rural Mutual roots for all of Wisconsin's student athletes. Whether they're a hometown hero or they dream of the national spotlight, sportsmanship keeps Wisconsin strong. Visit ruralmutual.com/WIAA to learn more about how they support high school athletics.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
We're going where I've never gone before, Agricultural Wonders of Iceland. I'm Pam Yonke, inviting you to join us on our next agriculture adventure, March 11th through the 17th. Discover Iceland's best-known national treasures and indulge in its agricultural delights. We'll tour the Golden Circle-packed geothermal wonders and majestic waterfalls. We'll make a stop at the world-famous Blue Lagoon for a relaxing day at this natural spa. Part of our agricultural highlights include a stop at a historic sheep farm to enjoy a scrumptious lunch from ingredients produced right there on the farm and the surrounding areas. And of course, at night, we'll search the night sky for the breathtaking Aurora Borealis. Visit holidayvacations.com, keyword PAM, to learn more about this tour and watch a travel show, or call 888-557-1020 for a free brochure. That's 888-557-1020 for that brochure.
Rhodes Warm and Serve Rolls are exactly what your meal has been missing. Whether you prefer a soft white roll, an artisan French-style roll, or the tang of sourdough, Rhodes has the roll for you. We mix, knead, and bake them in Columbus, Wisconsin, then freeze them to keep them fresh and send them off to your favorite grocery store. All you have to do is heat the rolls up and serve them with a smile. Find Rhodes Rolls in the freezer section today.
Ooh, lots of red ink this morning in Chicago and on Wall Street. Markets are coming up. So one of the interesting conversations I had last week in Kansas City revolved around the railroad industry. Now, I thought that we had averted a railroad strike, and indeed, to a certain extent, we did. But there is a pending railroad strike that could hit our industry and really anybody that depends on the railroad for transportation by maybe the front part of December. That's what Mike Seifert, president and CEO of the National Grain and Feed Association, told me. He said they're already facing a lot of shipping challenges because of low water levels, not allowing for barge traffic to move like we'd like it to. And he said now the threat of a potential railroad strike makes for a perfect storm.
It really is kind of the perfect storm of what we've seen with some of the rail challenges and the river challenges we've had. And if I had a dollar for every time someone who's been in the industry 30, 40 years this year has told me, I've never seen this before, I could send both my kids to college and I could still retire very comfortably, I think. It has certainly been a challenge. We've still got some challenges on the rail side. If you look at year-over-year numbers, we're still needing to get back. But if you look at where we were in April, we've come a long ways on that front, I would say. So we're doing better, but when you throw in the challenges on the river and you throw in the threat of a rail strike, it's been a challenging year. There's no doubt about that.
That's Michael Seifert, president, CEO of the National Grain and Feed Association, and he said you have to understand how much of the product produced on farms actually moves by rail. It's a pretty incredible number.
Well, you figure 25% of the grain and oil seeds, bulk commodities, are moved by rail. And then you add in almost an equivalent number of cars are moved when you combine flour, biofuels, ethanol, DDGs, soy meal. It's a huge impact from both a moving product for export, moving product for processing, moving product for feeding animals. It would be a significant impact very quickly. I mean, you saw the challenges we had earlier in the year. Imagine shutting down basically the whole system.
Michael Seifert says now it's all about timing. As we've seen in the past, especially when it comes to transportation arteries, a lot of times the holiday season sets them up for the possibility of a strike. And according to Seifert, that's exactly what this railroad situation seems to be setting up for.
The best thing that could happen would be for those unions that have rejected the labor agreement to stay at the table and be able to work out agreement with the railroads. That is the best case scenario. If that doesn't happen, when we get into the second week of December where strike is a possibility, then we're going to need Congress to intervene. But the best case scenario would be the parties getting it worked out amongst themselves and not having to get the government involved. Whether it's our members on our issues or producers on other areas, the less you can keep the government involved, usually the happier folks are. And I think if the private parties can work it out, that would certainly be the most ideal situation.
Again, that's Michael Seifert. He is the president, CEO of the National Grain and Feed Association. So the long story short, if you thought we had gotten around the railroad situation, maybe think again. And now we're going to keep an eye on things from now until at least the second week of December. I'm keeping an eye on things in Chicago, and I don't necessarily like what I see as far as overnight markets are concerned. Currently, we're looking at the Dow Jones Industrial Average down about 70 points. December corn's down 4 points at 664. January beans are down 8 at 1420. December wheat down 4.5 at 798. On Friday in Chicago, the dairy markets also went through some fairly radical changes. The 40-pound block cheese was unchanged at 223 and a quarter. Barrel cheese dropped 5 1/4 to 192 and 3/4. And AA butter on Friday dropped 13 cents to 281 a pound. On the way, it looks like we've got a UW River Falls theme going this morning, talking about their dairy plant renovation, the new dean of the College of Agriculture, Food, and Environmental Sciences. And up next, Charity Seebecker is going to tell us about a humane handling course that's going to be launched at the UW River Falls campus, designed to try to help meat processors across the state. Stick around. That news and more coming your way on a Monday morning.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Some things are never really a choice, like wearing your muddy boots in the house, quit before the job's done, buying seed without service. They just don't make sense. That's why Agrigold gives you the best of both worlds. We're big enough to deliver top-tier genetics and traits, but small enough to give you the personalized service you need to thrive. Because like you, we know choosing seed without service isn't really a choice. Need help choosing? Learn more at ChooseAgrigold.com.
Nobody knows windows like Wanakee Remodeling. Voted the best window company in Madison 10 years straight, our Renewal by Andersen windows are the most weather-tight, highest quality, and most durable on the market. Make sure you eliminate your old window and door problems. Go with the most trusted name in windows, Renewal by Andersen, from Wanakee Remodeling.
The harvest marches on across the state of Wisconsin. Our Wiffles representatives are out there kind of trying to guide us on the yields. Steve Quatty, one of our district sales managers, is along with us.
Right now, when we're riding in combines with growers, that's really a great time to have a good conversation with a grower and customers and potential customers, because you're in the field, you're seeing if there's any concerns, you're seeing it, and how can we work with that grower and help make him more profitable. That's always a great time to do that.
That smile NFL just must get so big when you're in that combine and they have to start slowing down because the yield's so big, eh?
Yeah, when they got to, you know, hey, we got to wait for the green card or I can't make it across the field. Those are great problems to have, Pam.
I tell you what, I believe it, Steve. Very good, and I'm glad that the harvest is going so well. Again, Steve Quadi along with us. He's a district sales manager with our friends from Wyffels. Remember, if you're looking for your corn dedicated, a family farm-owned company, then Wyffels is the place to begin.
If your workout includes baling hay and pitching pens, then you'll be comfortable right here. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
A first-of-its-kind program, the Humane Handling Institute, will provide comprehensive hands-on training for current meat industry workers in humane pre-slaughter handling, transport, stunning, and equipment maintenance.
I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report.
Kurt Vogel, Humane Handling Institute Director, shares more about what the Institute is and why it's needed.
The Humane Handling Institute is a new program that has been funded by the state of Wisconsin through the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection that focuses on developing the skills that pre-slaughter handlers, transporters, and stunner operators need in meat plants.
Can you elaborate more on the why? So why was this institute created? Is it because of consumer wants or meat processors not being able to meet regulations? Or what is happening in the industry that's making this so important?
It's a combination of all those things that you just listed. So I can give you a bit of the story behind how we got to this point at UW River Falls. Our story starts in 2014 when we started tracking the humane handling enforcement letters that are issued by the USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service to plants that violate the Humane Slaughter Act and the regulations under that specific law. So the Humane Slaughter Act is the main law that the meat industry has to follow to ensure that animals are rendered unconscious and insensible to pain before any cutting happens during the slaughter process, and also that they're handled in a way that's humane and ethically acceptable on the front end before stunning happens. So when we started doing the assessment of these letters through our animal welfare lab, we noticed pretty quickly that the primary cause seemed to be associated with pre-slaughter stunning, and that the majority of those letters that were posted, so every year there's usually around 100 letters that are posted, and about 80% of those have stunning-related issues, and virtually all of them are avoidable with appropriate training or appropriate equipment setup. So over the years now, since 2014, we've continued to track this, and we realized that the stunning issue was one that just was not going away. It was consistently there, and it was consistently hovering at around 80% of cause. And so we thought, what can we do to solve this problem? And what we came up with was to develop an industry training center where people can send their pre-slaughter handlers and stunner operators, and then we will coach them up in a place that's actually built for teaching and learning, because a slaughter facility is not necessarily the best place for training because there's so much that's happening in that environment. Everything's moving so quickly, and then you've got the additional pressure of inspection personnel, regulatory personnel watching. And so that's just a setup for somebody to make a mistake. So our idea was, we'll set up a training center at UW River Falls. Our location is particularly helpful because we're located in a place that's relatively easy to get to for most of the state, even though we're on the far western end of the state. But on a national scale, we're located really close to the Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport, which gives us the ability to cover the national need for this type of training, too. Then the next piece to this is that we can do a lot of our training with animal models. So we can get dummies, for example, of cattle and pig and sheep heads, for example, and we can train people to apply stunners to those model heads instead of using live animals. We also have access to a lot of animal tissues and heads, for example, that we can use for training so that we can show stunner operators exactly where the brain is located and what their target is, essentially. And all this training will help then for those people that go back to these jobs to have the skills they need in order to do the job well. And that's going to help people, right? Because then they don't have to experience the anguish that goes along with a missed stun, and the animals don't have to suffer as a result of that either.
So you mentioned you guys are going to be that house area in a sense of people can come to you and get that training. So do you have a bunch of different equipment of potentially different types of stunners that different processors will use? Or do these processors all need to have the similar setup in order to come train with you? Or how does that work?
Yeah, that's another advantage of this program that we're building, is that over the years I've developed some really good relationships with companies that make stunning equipment. And so most of the models of stunning equipment that are out in industry today are models that I've personally worked with in the consulting work that I've done, and that I have good relationships with the manufacturers. So we're going to have the ability then to pull in just about any model that's out there so that we can train people how to effectively service and repair their specific models. Another piece to this, too, is we're planning to set it up such that when we do equipment maintenance training, that the people that are signed up for that training can actually bring their stunning equipment into our site, and we can work with their tools as part of their training.
That was Kurt Vogel, Humane Handling Institute Director. The program consists of a series of 2.5-day-long workshops. Interested participants can find out more by going to uwrf.edu/CAFES/HHI. From the Midwest.
Are you interested in beekeeping but still aren't sure if it's worth it? Well, Blaine's Farm and Fleet makes it easy to reap the sweet reward of homespun honey with beekeeping starter kits, accessories, and some friendly advice. Learn more, farmandfleet.com/beekeeping.